But first, to our opinion and commentary segment, New York Times journalist Jim Rutenberg published a piece on Monday in which he warned that Facebook's CEO must take on fake news. Mr. Rutenberg joins us now. We're reaching him by cell phone. Jim, I really appreciate the time this morning. I know you're out of the office, but thank you.
Sure, thank you. How do I sound?
Okay. And if it deteriorates, we'll try this another time. Okay.
Okay.
But thank you.
Great. Thank you.
First to the news this morning on the paper's front page, which is that the New York Times had a meeting with Donald Trump and then he canceled it. And now I understand that it's back on for 11:30 our time. He's tweeting things like perhaps a new meeting will be set up with the Times. In the meantime, they continue to cover me inaccurately and with a nasty tone. Is this a taste of things to come between the Times and President-elect Trump?
I hope not, but we'll continue to cover him accurately, and should we make a mistake, we'll correct it. I don't see any corrections that have been requested. This was an issue of us insisting that most of the meeting be on the record, that is, so we could quote him. He did an off-the-record meeting with the major television executives yesterday, as you may know. And there was some leaking out of that meeting, clearly from the campaign, the president-elect transition side, kind of painting it as him dressing down these executives. But we always prefer people on the record, especially our presidents or presidents-elect.
Jim, you started that answer by saying, of course, we will continue to cover him as we need to. And I think we all acknowledge that that the Times' journalistic standards will not change. But the reality is, as you know, when you have someone like this who is specifically calling out a news organization, and then you have potentially millions of his supporters who are saying, right, kick the Times to the curb. Who cares? Have you been here before? I mean, maybe these are really uncharted waters for a news organization like the Times. What do you do?
Well, they're slightly uncharted, but not entirely uncharted, right? Like the Bush, I covered the Bush White House, George W. Bush, and he did not give us incredible access, but there was always a respectful kind of relationship where he and his staff understood what our needs were as journalists, and we understood their prerogatives as people in government. If this becomes more of him running an outside campaign against us, we have to just do our best to not get drawn into that, do our jobs, which is to report accurately, fairly, aggressively. You know, there's been some talk these days from some of his supporters that press shouldn't give a sort of, tough but fair look at a president-elect. And that's just not the way our system's set up. Our system's set up where journalists are sometimes adversarial, sometimes not. We need to be fair. We need to listen to arguments when we're not being fair. And it's, our critics have a point, we need to take that into account, but we can't kind of get drawn into a political fight. That's not our role.
Jim, do you feel like with some of the reporting that's already excellent reporting that is already happening on business ties and some of the ethics issues that look like they're coming here, developing now with the president-elect, do you, though, fear that in some ways that coverage preaches to the choir and the people that, you know, should be reading it and should have an awareness of it are simply tuned out? You know, like Donald Trump, who claims he doesn't read the Times, they don't either.
That's an argument. But again, like, our role has to be that we have to unearth what we unearth as journalists. And, you know, if any of it raises issues that other parts of the legal or political system choose to deal with, that's their one. And if his supporters don't care, that's fine, too. He said himself during his campaign that he could, quote unquote, shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and still get votes. And that's probably true. But our goal is not to affect him one way or another. Our goal is just to report the truth and, you know, come what may.
You suggested in the piece that caught my eye earlier this week that Mark Zuckerberg is struggling with something that he should feel a special responsibility to, and that's making sure that his site reflects the truth and not getting swept into this vortex of fake news. What should Zuckerberg be doing that he is not?
I think, and all of this kind of picks up where our conversation so far has left off.
Yeah, it does.
You know, we don't want, what we don't want is a national debate over state policy positions that President-elect Trump has taken that are decided based on false news or false things. It's just, you know, you don't want to see a policy come about based on untrue assertions. Mr. Zuckerberg and Facebook, they've kind of struggled with this idea of what are they? Are they a dumb platform upon which anything can run, town gossip, falsehoods, real news, or do they have some kind of social responsibility to keep, you know, false things from circulating on their site? I think they do. You know, it has to be very clear cut when they act, and I think they need more people in place. And they have some already. I know some of them were very good journalists, but they need some people in place who can help make these decisions about what is absolutely false, what isn't. And, you know, what a loose allegation that Hillary Clinton arranged for the plane crash of JFK Jr. based on nothing. I don't know why that's allowed to kind of run free across that site.
You know, one of the things that I think you noted this, that Zuckerberg says is, well, our social media community polices this. And that's an important part of making sure that fake news, you know, that we're being transparent about fake news. Is that good enough?
I mean, I submit that it's not good enough because, again, there's this sort of what he said is we don't want to be the arbiters of truth.
Right.
And, you know, some things are like truth doesn't need an arbiter when it's obvious, you know. And this, I think the example I cited was obvious. I think it's a little bit of a, not quite a cop-out. I think he's very committed to his philosophy of an open platform with, you know, a free speech kind of utopia. But, you know, it's just, it gets less realistic and less responsible when you have 1.8 billion users and you can affect the national conversation. He very much denies that fake news at all affected the results. That's an open debate, but it's, to me, beside the point. If you're infecting the public dialogue with false information, you have a responsibility to stop it.
You know, I want to give you an example that isn't as clear-cut as the one that you cited about what they've been saying about Hillary Clinton and JFK Jr.'s plane crash. What should Facebook have done back when Donald Trump, before he was running for president, was telling everybody that President Obama wasn't a real citizen of the country because he'd been born outside of its borders? Now, the evidence disputed that, but there were plenty of news media organizations that reported the Donald Trump says this, and this is what the president says, like that. Now, what should Facebook do about that? It is fake news. It was not a true story.
Well, that's where Facebook is in, as you know, good company. And I think the news media writ large gave that way too much. I mean, it's really disgraceful how much attention that those allegations got. And we know why they got so many allegations. They got so much attention because at the time, Mr. Trump was an entertainer weighing in on politics in an outrageous way. Look at that. Wow. I'm sure it rated quite well. And it was, you know, frankly, irresponsible. You saw the better journalists. I remember Chuck Todd on Meet the Press. If anybody came on his show when Donald Trump was kind of making this, kind of make waves, he would ask him, Mitch McConnell, do you believe that our president was born in the United States? You know, he would kind of press it and fact-check it. So I think Facebook should have had a flag on that maybe, but that was really difficult because a lot of, quote-unquote, legitimate news organizations, mainstream news organizations, were facilitating the forwarding of that smear.
I have one last question for you, Jim. How do you think Facebook should handle a user who reposts the stuff that turns up on Steve Bannon's Breitbart News website? A lot of that is crap and fake, and yet now he's a senior advisor to the president-elect.
Well, that's, you know, Facebook, just, I think its standard has to be not where the stuff ends up, but, you know, whether it's completely false or not. Mr. Bannon is in it's a very interesting case, and people in the Trump campaign are saying don't base your expectations of his performance at the White House on what he did at Breitbart. Breitbart's the public record right now, so it remains to be seen. But, you know, that was Mr. Trump's decision. And I would note that this shows you that a lot of the reporting that Mr. Trump and his supporters complained about was accurate. You know, this is what his administration would embrace, and indeed it did. And so there you have it.
It's going to be tough, isn't it, Jim?
Well, it is, but that's why we're in the business, right?
Hey, thank
not
you.
For the pay.
Thanks so much for the time. And I know you're out of the office on personal business, and we appreciate it.
Okay, thanks so much.